Blog Talk Radio. Call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 21025.
Well, who created nature?
Shalom.
I mean, but still, how the hell the water just separate? Like, I'm still trying to figure that out. It's all by itself. Like,
most high. There's different.
I'm wondering if this is happening, is it dry, completely dry, like how, you know, it says in the book?
Well, when it says the water separates, there are several parts in the world where the water separates, where it's the density of the water. And so you can have water that's very blue and water that's greenish, and it's like a line. Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of spots in the world that are like that. So that's a phenomenon they ain't been able to figure out. But let's get back into this. What we're reading about here, for those that are joining us on Blog Talk, we're reading about in the Josephus about how the children of Israel, at the first sign of trouble after leaving Egypt, they're ready to stone Moses, so they're ready to kill him. Now, let's go ahead and read on down, brother, and tell them where you are real quick. I'll tell them. Antiquity of the Jews and the Josephus, we're in book 3, and we're just starting at chapter 1, section 4 is where we're talking about. Now, we just read about how the children of Israel they were so zealous to destroy Moses, to kill him. And so, yeah, book 3. Chapter 1, and we're in section 4. What book? What page is that on your Joseph? 79. Okay. And we're just going to start. Yeah, we're right there. I think it is. Yeah, we're going to start chapter 4. I'm going to have you read here because we got Blog Talk here, if you don't mind. All right, so they can hear you on the phone. Oops.
We were at the beginning of this?
Yeah, just on chapter 4 right there, section 4 right there.
Okay.
Go ahead and read that for me.
But as for Moses himself, while the multitude were irritated and bitterly set against him, he cheerfully relied upon God and upon his consciousness of the care he had taken of these his own people.
So it shows you that when we read in the scriptures, and this is another example of why the Josephus really does enhance and gives you a better understanding of what the scriptures talk about. In the Bible, whenever it talks about the children of Israel were not happy with Moses, they would say they were frustrated. They say they murmured against him, that they spoke against him. And it gives an impression that they were just gossiping or they were just kind of mumbling and grumbling in frustration. But now we're reading in the Josephus, it gives a better understanding. They were violent to the point of wanting to kill him. They were conspiring to kill him and to come against him. And that's why Moses himself, while the multitude were irritated and bitterly set against him, he relied upon the Most High and knew that the Most High would take care of him. Go ahead and read on.
And he came into the midst of them, even while they clamored against him.
He said Moses came into the midst. He walked among them, even while they clamored against him. They were rowdy and yelling and screaming. Read on.
And had stones in their hands in order to dispatch him.
So they had stones in their hands. They were ready to kill him. They armed themselves. He still walked amongst them. Go ahead.
Now he was of an agreeable presence and very able to persuade the people by his speeches.
Now, he was able to persuade the people by his speeches. So now that tells you when people talk about he was very charismatic. He was a very good speaker. He knew how to get across his point. He was very knowledgeable about how to get across his point. And keep in mind that you have to go back to his upbringing because he was raised by Pharaoh's daughters, so as Pharaoh's grandson. He was raised as Pharaoh's grandson, and the point to that is that he was, in today's world, he was raised as a prince. And that means he had the best education that was available. Part of the education was also how to speak how to conduct yourselves, how to present yourselves to people. Because as being raised as a prince, then they would expect him to be dealing with the top Egyptians, the top Egyptian business people, the top professors or whatever they might have been called in Egypt. But he had all the top people in society. If people from other nations, world leaders would come to visit Pharaoh, he would encounter them.
Right.
So he had to know how to speak to them because there's a way to talk. You know, and so Moses was very versatile and very knowledgeable about how to speak and how to deal with people. Because remember, he's walking into a group of people that have rocks, they're ready to kill him. So he definitely had to be smooth. Okay? Definitely had to know how to speak. Go ahead, brother.
Accordingly, he began to mitigate their anger.
So he started to calm them down. Go ahead.
And exhorted them not to be over-mindful of their presence adversity.
So he explained to them, listen, don't be upset about it. Don't trip. Don't get crazy just because we're in a situation right at this very moment. Go ahead.
Lest they should thereby suffer the benefits that have formerly been bestowed on them to slip out of their memories.
See, and he was, don't get all caught up and frustrated over what we're facing right at this moment, because you have to remember what the Most High just did for us. And if you get so caught up in what's happening at this very moment, you're going to forget what he did for us and what he's planning to do. Because keep in mind, you have to remember that this group of Israelites, this was the first time that Israel was an actual nation of people. This was the fulfillment of a promise that they had known about, because it was a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Most High completely repeated that constantly to Abraham, constantly to Isaac, constantly to Jacob. So this was a fulfillment of that prophecy that they're facing, and Moses was trying to remind them, don't focus so much on this one spot, and you forget about all the good stuff that's going to happen for us and has already happened for us. Read on, brother.
And he desired them by no means, on account of their present uneasiness, to cast those great and wonderful favors and gifts which they had obtained of God out of their minds.
See, don't cast away the good stuff we just did. All that good stuff we just went through, don't be ungrateful. Go ahead.
But to expect deliverance out of those their present troubles, which they could not free themselves from.
See, but to expect deliverance out of their present troubles that they would not be able to, and that's what he was reminding them, you ain't able to solve this current problem, but the Most High will, as long as we stay focused. Keep your eye on the prize. Go ahead.
And this by the means of that divine providence.
That divine providence, that's the way, providence, the way the Most High orchestrates and does things. It's about how he, the game master, how he deals with things. Go ahead.
Which watch over them, seeing it is probable that God tries their virtue.
And he was explaining, God's probably trying your virtue. He wants to see how real y'all are. Go ahead.
And exercises their patience by these adversities.
See, and exercises their patience. I'm going to see what they're going to do. Okay, I'm going to see what they're going to do. Give them 2 days with no food and see what they're going to do. Go ahead.
That it may appear what fortitude they have.
What fortitude they have. What kind of inner strength do they have? Go ahead.
And what memory they retain of his former wonderful works in their favor.
See, what memory they retain of his former wonderful works in their favor. And it's sad he had to say that, because the former wonderful works that Moses was referring to was just happened a few days before. It's not like they had been gone for 20 or 30 years or 50 years or 1,000 years. The former wonderful works were all the curses he brought upon Egypt to save Israel. The fact that they had just walked through the Red Sea. You know, the fact that he had just saved them. And it's like that's just gone.
Yeah, short memories.
Short memories. That's the problem. We do it today. Go ahead. Read on, brother.
And whether they will not think of them upon occasion of the
miseries
they now feel.
See, won't they think upon the fact that, okay, you know, we're a little short on food right at this moment. But just a few days ago, the Most High was out there for several weeks. He was going through all these curses with Pharaoh and with the Egyptians, and he saved us. And not one of them, they weren't thinking about the fact that the Most High, he was fulfilling the promise that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that he wouldn't go through all that trouble to bring us out so we could starve to death after he promised us he was going to save us. That don't make no sense. Go ahead.
He told them, it appeared they were not really good men.
See? Now listen, to show you how well he spoke, they had rocks. They were ready to kill him. They were screaming, cussing, fussing at him. He walked down amongst them, and as he's talking to them, he's calming them down enough to even tell them, y'all ain't even good men.
No doubt.
Okay?
Freaking,
shows you,
freaking their
but it
conscience.
Shows you, yeah, hitting their conscience. But it shows you Moses was real. He was like, they say, I'm real about this thing. But it shows you he wasn't scared either. So all this stuff about, oh, Moses was so, yes, Moses was meek, but being meek doesn't mean you're weak.
Right.
That's what this world will try and portray as though Moses was weak. We already know by the Josephus that Moses was a general in the Egyptian army and destroyed the Ethiopians. He was a straight warrior. Just because he was humble, so just being humble doesn't mean you're weak.
He wasn't no punk.
Exactly. Okay, so he's standing around these people who were ready to kill him, and he's telling them, you ain't good men. Go ahead.
Either impatient. Or in remembering what had been successfully done for them.
See, y'all ain't patient, and y'all don't even remember what somebody did you a favor. Somebody did right by you. Go ahead.
Sometimes by condemning God and his commands, when by those commands they left the land of Egypt.
See, they condemned God and his commands. So they coming up against Moses. And the Most High is the one who put Moses on the job in the first place. So by coming up against Moses, they're coming up against God. You see? That's just like if you had a job and if the president of the company tells the vice president and then the regional supervisors that the president says, everybody needs to stay an extra half hour tonight to work. And the word comes down. And your supervisor comes to you and says, you need to stay an extra half hour, and it's in the contract that they can do that. And then you come up against your supervisor. That's the same as you coming up against the president of the company.
Yep.
Because that person was ordained by the president of the company through the hierarchy to do that. And so the Most High gave Moses his orders. Moses came through and was doing what he was supposed to do. Them coming up against Moses is them coming up against the Most High. Okay? That's how they were, because they were so self. And it was all about, well, we ain't had some food in a minute. Now, the Most High, now keep in mind, the Most High also laid them out with all that gold and jewels and gems before they left. He laid them out with, so they got, they're wealthy, they've got flocks, they've got everything they need, and they worried about, oh, I need to get some bread. I need some food in my gut. Go ahead, you got something?
Yeah, I just wanted to.
Yeah, please.
Tell them where you are. What you're saying. I'm in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, and go ahead and read that.
1 Thessalonians 4 and 8.
He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit.
See, so they ain't despising Moses. See, they're mad at Moses because they can physically see Moses, but that's because their minds are so warped. They're being so selfish. That they're focused on how this is affecting me is, and that's how we have to look at it. So we have to look at this thing. Keep in mind, the overall reason for these classes is to look at it from a psychological and a sociological point of view. Now, the psychological point of view, psychology, check this out. Now, you think about how they're acting, and listen to this definition, psychology, the mental characteristics or attitude of a person or a group. The mental characteristics or attitude. Now, what is their attitude? Their attitude is completely negative. Why? Because I ain't had nothing to eat. And you know what that is? That's no different than a child. Because you take a 5-year-old child, a 4-year-old child. Daddy, I'm hungry. Mommy, I'm hungry. Now, that's, you expect that of a child. But even then, sometimes it's like, well, listen, dinner's going to be ready in 30 minutes. And you know that child ain't going to pass out. But they had lunch. They had lunch. You know, they didn't realize they had lunch 4 hours ago. And so now they act. But then what, 10 minutes later, oh, I'm hungry. And they get to crying and acting up. Then they wonder why you're ready to put the belt on. But that's what you expect from a childish mentality. But even then, you don't tolerate that. And so now you see the patience that the Most High is applying by letting Moses deal with it. Because they not only – now imagine your child just – your child says, I'm hungry. But then imagine 10 minutes later, instead of saying, I'm hungry, instead they take a rock and they're ready to throw it at you. Okay? Because this is what's happening. You see, now you laugh, but let that click in. Exactly. No, you're right. You're right. Let that click in. Then now they got. Now listen, you tell. Now you now say you're a parent and you've got, you know, 5 or 6 children, and you got one child who's a teenager, and you tell your teenager, you say, listen, I got some stuff. I gotta go take care of some business next door at the neighbor. So I gotta go down to the store. I gotta take care of this business real quick. Go ahead and just okay, boil them some hot dogs. You know, your child's 15. Cook them something real quick. Just cook them some grilled cheese sandwiches.
Right.
And so then the other children who are younger, your teenager says, listen, dinner will be ready in 30 minutes. I'm cooking it now. They can hear the food. They hear the pop of the pans. They see the cheese being put on the bread.
Smell
or
it.
The, you know, they can smell it. They see the hot dogs going in the water. Whatever it is, it's something simple. But it's going to take 30 minutes because they got to cook. They got to get everything ready. And children, now they had lunch. So this ain't like we haven't eaten in a week. And then the other children are coming up to your teenager, and they got rocks. And they're ready to throw them at the teenager. Okay, now how you going to feel as the parent who gave the order to the teenager to take care of it? And the teenager's doing what they're supposed to do, right? But I'm saying the teenager's doing what he or she is supposed to do. You see, now look at this. Because the Most High told Moses is doing what he's supposed to do, and they're ready to kill him for it. And they just got out. It's happening right now. They just got out of Egypt. So let's go back. We're in the Josephus.
I got one more.
Oh, yeah, please. You got one more. Go ahead. Point. Go ahead.
This
tell.
This is Romans chapter 13 and verse 1.
Romans 13 and 1.
It reads, let every soul be subject unto the higher power.
Yeah.
For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
Thank you. That's self-explanatory. We ain't got to elaborate on that. That's the order of things. And we know the Most High sent Moses. And look, they knew too, because Moses and Aaron were doing the miracles. They couldn't deny.
Whoever the Most High set up.
Whoever the Most High set up.
In this case, point, it was Moses and Aaron.
Yeah, and this what we're reading here is Moses and Aaron in this circumstance. That's why you can't buck it. That's why it is what it is. Okay? We all get good. We're supposed to be. But that's good, though. Take it so you can heal up from it. So let's go back to the Josephus. And we're in Antiquity of the Jews, book 3, chapter 1, section 4.
Right up under 16. All right.
By the Egypt. Come.
Right. Go ahead and read that.
And sometimes by having themselves ill towards him.
Behaving themselves. Read that again. No, that's all right.
Sometimes by behaving themselves ill towards him who was the servant of God.
Now, behaving themselves ill, in this circumstance, ill is talking about bad. Okay, ill doesn't mean sick, like you got the flu, I'm ill. No, this circumstance, ill is talking about bad negatively. So they conduct themselves negatively toward him who was the servant of God against Moses. Go ahead.
And this, when he had never deceived
them. See, and he's really going into it, this speech. He's letting them know. He's cutting them because said, and this, when he had never deceived them, Moses never did anything underhanded, backbiting, backstabbing, sneaky, devious, any of that kind of stuff. He was straight up the whole time. Did what he said he was going to do. Go ahead.
Either in what he said or had ordered them to do by God's command.
See, either in what he said, when Moses told the children of Israel something, he was straight up. He followed through with it. It was the truth. And then even the way he conducted himself according to the commandments of the Most High, he was straight up and honest with them. So that's what he's letting them know. Listen, y'all come up against the, you know, I've done right by you. The Most High has done right by you. And here y'all are acting like this. Read on.
He also put them in mind of all they that had passed.
See, he also reminded them, what, you forgot about all this stuff that went on? Go ahead.
How the Egyptians were destroyed when they attempted to detain them, contrary to the command of God.
Right.
And after what manner the very same river was to the others bloody and not fit for drinking.
So he was saying the Egyptians were destroyed when they tried to prevent the Israelites from being freed. And then what manner did the river, the very same river, meaning the Nile River, which were to others bloody, to the Egyptians it was bloody, read.
And not fit for drinking.
And it was not fit for drinking. Remember, we read that in detail, that they could not drink the water of the Nile. Go ahead.
But to the Israelites,
sweet and what?
And fit for drinking.
So see, this is, and again, this is why we read in the Josephus. Because in the scriptures, it does tell you that Moses, when Moses had Aaron touch the Nile River, and then the water became blood, and then all the vessels they had were blood, but it did not differentiate. It didn't separate the fact that the waters were bloody for the Egyptians, but they were not changed for the Israelites. That tells you right there. So not only was it that the water was bloody, wait a minute. Let's I know we went over the curses. We got to go over this because the river. So now Aaron went and put his staff on the river. The river turned to blood. The water that was in every other container, back then they had clay pots, you know, maybe some brass containers, but every vessel, anything that had water, if you had gone down to the river last night and filled up your jug and it was in your house a mile away from the river, blood in your jug, if you were Egyptian, if you had filled up your basin at the side of your house to take a bath or to wash your face. They used to have them basins where they get up in the morning, splash water on your face. It was blood. Okay? Every container they have, the trough that they use to feed, because, you know, yesterday you're an Egyptian and you've got horses. You've got cattle. And, you know, use them troughs. So you take that water, all that water you filled up yesterday, And whatever they didn't finish drinking yesterday is now blood. But where the Hebrews lived in Goshen, not only was it clean, it said it was sweet. The water was sweet. Okay? The water was sweet. Go ahead. Read on, brother. See, I want that to soak in. That's why I repeat that. Go ahead. We're in the Josephus right now. If you want to tell them what page we're on, brother. We're in section 4,
yeah,
on page 79,
with 18.
Read on.
And how they went a new road through the sea.
See, they went where?
A new road through the sea.
Through. Now, he didn't say they went on a new road around the sea. That's what you would expect. If I say, yeah, I was over there, I went down to Corpus, and I went this new way, you think, oh, you made a new road around the edge of the ocean. Around the sea, they went through the sea. Go ahead.
Which fled a long way from them.
Which fled a long way from them.
By which very means they were themselves preserved.
See, that was a long way for them to go. You can't just go straight. And when they say a long way, what it means is it was almost impossible. The way they went was impossible except for the Most High. Because they went straight through the ocean. Moses took a walking stick and touched the water, and then it was a dry road for them to go through. That was impossible without the Most High. And that's how they made it. Go ahead.
But saw their enemies destroyed.
And that's an important point. They saw the Egyptians. So all the Hebrews, the Most High did all of these things so the Hebrews could see it, so that there was no chance for them to say, oh, well, you know, the Most High ain't done this for us. No, they all saw it. It wasn't like one person saw, like he saw it, I didn't see it. We were all standing there. We all went through the Red Sea, I don't know why I keep saying Dead Sea today. I know the difference. We all went through the Red Sea, and we all got to the other side of the Red Sea, and we all got to turn around and watch the Red Sea cover up the Egyptian army. So couldn't none of them say they didn't see it? Go ahead.
And that, when they were in want of weapons, God gave them plenty of them.
Go ahead.
And so he recounted all the particular instances how when they were in appearance just going to be destroyed.
So, see, even when they saw and when they were in want of weapons, God gave them plenty. Now, he didn't give them swords and staffs and spears. But what did he do? Well, number one, if you remember, the Egyptians were chasing them. And the Most High made a storm come at them. And so remember, he had the wind blowing against them. And the Egyptians were like, man, this has got to be, he had the pillars of fire and the wind. Then when the Dead Sea started up, when they were starting to go through the Dead Sea, and he had the storm, and then it said that the storm covered, the water came back and covered them. But then there were some of them that knew how to swim. Because you have to remember, the Egyptians, the Nile River was the main thing for Egypt. So Egyptians knew how to swim. Well, not maybe not every single person, but a lot of those warriors knew how to swim because they grew up on the river.
Right.
Some of them were probably sailors, or at least their trade was in boating, because they did, everything was done by the river. And so they knew how to swim. So some of those men knew how to swim. So when the Dead Sea or the Red Sea was covered back over them, some of them were trying to swim. And it said, we read that last week, that the Most High had storms. This hurricane came through and lightning, said lightning like fire was getting them. That's what we read in the Josephus last week. And lightning like fire was smacking them. It said this tempest, it was a hurricane that came over the waters, and then even lightning like fire, and it said hail like fireballs was hitting them.
So when it talks about the weapons, our weapons was the elements.
Yes, the Most High had the elements. Exactly.
Against the Egyptians. What better weapon to have?
That's right. And that's what that's exactly what he's trying to tell them. That's what he's trying to remind them. They just saw this. Okay? Go ahead. Read on, brother.
God has saved them in a surprising manner.
See, in a surprising manner.
That he had still the same power.
See, so he said, God saved you in a surprising manner. And you know what? He still got the same power. Go ahead.
And that they ought not even now to despair of his providence over them.
And they shouldn't even now despair over how he's going to rule over them and conduct them and make sure, look out for their safety. Go ahead.
And accordingly, he exhorted them to continue quiet.
See, y'all better be quiet.
And to consider that help would not come too late.
And you ain't going to get help too late. He's always come through right on time. Go ahead.
Though it come not immediately.
See, he's reminding me, the help you need, the food we need, the water we need, is not going to be too late. It's going to come on time, even though it doesn't come as quick as you want it to. Go ahead.
If it be present with them before they suffer any great misfortune.
See, if it comes, in other words, if you get the help you need before you get in any trouble, go ahead.
That they ought to reason thus.
That they ought to think this way. Bless you.
That God delays to assist them, not because he had no regard to them.
See, God delays to help you, not because he doesn't love you or doesn't have any regard for you, read,
but because he will first try their fortitude.
He's going to try your fortitude. He's going to test your faith, the trial of your faith. Go ahead.
And the pleasure they take in their freedom.
And the pleasure you take in your freedom. Go ahead.
That he may learn whether you have souls great enough to bear want of food and scarcity of water.
Now, he's going to test you to see if you have a soul strong enough to deal with not having food or water. Go ahead.
On account of your freedom.
So in other words, now that you got your freedom, are you strong enough to last a couple days without some food and water? Now that you have your absolute freedom, go ahead.
Or whether you rather love to be slaves.
Or would you rather love to be slaves
as cattle and slaves to such as own them.
See, as cattle or slaves to such as own them, go ahead.
Feed them liberally.
So now, are you strong enough that with your freedom, is your freedom worth you missing a couple of days of food? Or would you rather be a slave in Egypt because they got fed regularly as cattle gets fed? Go ahead.
But only in order to make them more useful in their service.
See, that's what I was telling you earlier about slaves. So in other words, cattle gets fed regularly because, like, the oxen got fed regularly because the farmer needed them to plow them fields. And they got to be strong enough to plow the fields. The mules have to be strong enough to carry all that stuff, the baggage.
They won't.
That's what it was. That's exactly what he was saying. They were comfortable in captivity. But now they just got a little bit of time where they got just maybe a day or two without any food or water, and now they just ready to, not only are they grumbling, they ready to kill Moses behind it.
And I like the analogy that he's using, too, about the animal. You feed the animal because you want maximum effort.
That's right.
It ain't so much that you really love and care for the animal. You want maximum effort.
That's what it is, because the animal is a tool.
God. And mm-hmm. that's the same way the Egyptians were. They wanted maximum effort.
That's right.
So that's why they fed us.
That's right. Why do you think you change the oil in your car? You know, you gas your car, get the oil changed. Get them tires changed because you have to. You want that thing to work for you. So he's saying, would you rather be slaves? Go ahead, read on, brother.
Then as for himself.
And Moses said, but for me,
he shall not be so much concerned for his own preservation.
I ain't worried about myself because he knows the Most High is going to take care of him. Read on.
For if he die unjustly, he shall not reckon it any affliction, but that he is concerned for them, lest by casting stones at him, they should be thought to condemn God himself.
Now, this is interesting. This shows you how deep Moses is. Moses said, as for me, I'm not going to be concerned with my own preservation. I'm not worried about surviving because if I die unjustly, I'm not going to think it's an affliction. If y'all kill me unjustly, I'm not going to think it's an affliction. But I reckon that I'm concerned for y'all. This is what Moses was saying. I'm concerned for y'all because if you kill me, if you stone me to death, you're going to be condemning God. So Moses is like, I'm like nothing. Like when Paul said, I am nothing. That's what Moses was saying. I'm nothing. And if I die, if y'all kill me, I'm nobody. But if you kill me unjustly, you're going to be going against God. That's how humble and meek Moses was. Okay? That's why Moses is, his name is still so powerful in this world today, thousands of years later, because of how humble he was. Okay? Now let's read on. Section 5.
By this means, Moses pacified the people.
He pacified them because he started condemning them. Their conscience started getting jacked with. Go ahead.
And restrained them from stoning him.
See? He talked his way out of it. He talked his way out of getting stoned to death. Isn't that something, though? After all that he did, he still got to put his resume out there. Go ahead.
And brought them to repent of what they were going to do.
Okay. So they repented. Go ahead.
And because he thought the necessity they were under made their passion less unjustifiable.
See, because he thought the necessity of what they were under, their water, they didn't have enough water, they didn't have enough food, but it was only for a short period of time. So he felt like, you're complaining too much. Your necessity is unjust. Go ahead.
He thought it ought to apply himself to God by prayer and supplication.
See, he realized y'all are complaining, but by complaining to me and getting ready to stone me, you're going to offend God. So I better go and pray on y'all's behalf before God gets upset. It's just like the example I was using about the teenager cooking for the little ones, and then the teenager saying to the little ones, listen, y'all better stop complaining before Daddy hears, because he'll come in here and put the belt on all y'all.
Right.
You hear him say, y'all better stop complaining before Mama comes home, because she's going to get all y'all. Y'all all going to get whooped. So that's what he was saying. He doesn't want the Most High to get angry because they're complaining and moaning, bitching and moaning is what they're doing. Go ahead.
And going up to an eminence, he requested of God for some succor for the people.
So when he went up to an eminence, he went up to a stony spot, higher. So he went off by himself and prayed to the Most High, basically, and requested some comfort for the people. Go ahead.
The same people that were trying to kill him.
Yeah, the same people. Now, see, the same people that were just trying to kill him, that he had to go down and sweet talk them and get them back in line, and then now he's going off to pray for them.
Like, you apply that transcendence to today. A crowd of your own family.
A crowd of your own family is trying to kill you. It's trying to kill you. Exactly. That's right. You go pray for them.
But hold up.
Now,
first you had to talk them out of killing you.
Right. Talk them out of killing you. But see, again, now, and this is why we're reading the Josephus, to get a better understanding of what we've read many times in the scriptures, because the scriptures don't give this kind of detail, and that's why we're really, really breaking it down, because you're right, the psychology of this, it's like how in today's society, but you have to look at Moses was in his day's society, and it's not that they're different people. It's not that the time, just because we have computers and smartphones and all this other stuff and 4K TVs and all that, it's not different. The psychology is the same. This is what you have to look at. You don't look at them in this particular instance. You see them and they're acting a fool. They're ready to kill Moses. But now you have to flip it and look at Moses' psychology. It shows you how locked in Moses really was. It shows you that I don't care what they do to me. That's what he just told them. I don't care what y'all do to me. I don't want you to offend God. That's how locked in he was.
A natural sense.
There is a natural sense of the body to protect itself. And you know what it is? But you know what? Now you made a comment about there's a natural sense of the body to protect itself. And you're right. But you know what that is? That's ego. That's ego and pride, because now I have to defend myself. But see, what Moses did in this circumstance is, because remember, we know that he was humble, the meekest of the earth. The Most High knew that quality in him. The thing is, he overcame that because there's a greater purpose. It's very much like, an example I think everybody here can relate to, when someone becomes a parent, no matter what race, I've met people from multiple races, you know, that pretty much common thing they say, you know, once you become a parent, then there's something that changes in you because now you're living for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something greater than, and people say it in different ways. I've heard people say, you know, I realized it's something greater than me. You know, I felt that it just became natural. And I've had friends who were, straight up thugs, you know, straight up just, I don't care about going to the pen. I don't care about dying. I don't care about nothing. And all of a sudden, they say, once I put my baby girl in my arms, it broke me. You know, there's something greater than me. So now, and yes, we know that people are still flawed. They say that, and then they go out and do something greedy and selfish and crazy anyway. But you know what? But imagine that feeling that we can relate to, because we either people who our parents have been through it, or you know it, you hear people talk about it. But now, imagine that to like the millionth degree, because Moses felt this way about the entire nation of people, and the masses of them were ready to kill him. So he went above and beyond. It's very much, you know, you see people who are parents who have kids. You have parents who have these children who go off and they do stuff that's just, you know, they robbing, they stealing, they selling drugs, and the parent is just like, I don't know what to do, because they love their child so much that they hate the thought of them going to jail or them thought of them getting killed, and they'll turn the other way in hopes that the child will stop. You know, child's getting hooked on heroin, and the parents are just, we'll spend everything we got sending them to rehab 3 or 4 or 5 times, because rehab ain't cheap. You know, we'll do whatever we can do, paying for lawyers and just all this kind of stuff to keep them out of trouble and try and help them get on the right path, because even that, it's that amount of love and feeling they have for their child is strong enough to make them even bend their morals, you see. And I'm not justifying those actions. I'm just trying to give a perspective in today's world to see how deep this was that Moses had. They just tried to kill him. Now, keep in mind, because frankly, Moses had a family. when he was living off with Jethro, when he went off to Midian, he was out there with Jethro and daughter, and he had kids. Because remember, when he came back, he had a wife, kids, a father-in-law that he respected, crops, flocks. He had everything he needed. The Most High said, go back and get your people. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. And he, and remember, he had not only did he have all these things, he had established that he had been out there. He had left Egypt 40 years ago. So he had 40 years of establishing himself, building a household, raising children, having cattle, doing all this stuff. He's set. He's getting up every day, taking the flocks out, doing his business. The Most High said, you got to go back and get them. So he said, okay, I'm going to go back and get them. Let me go on. And he left his children, left his wife, and went back to go get them. And now here these Negroes, these Negards, these idiots, are now trying to kill him at the first sign because they ain't had no water in maybe a day. They had no day or two. They ain't had no water, no food. They raised. Not only is it, it's one thing to say they're grumbling. They're fussing. You know, oh, man, Moses, I got a hunger headache. Man, I'm tired. Come on, where we go get some food? That's one thing. But they were ready to kill him. And he had to talk them out of it. And now he's like, okay, let me go pray because the Most High is going to kill these people. He could have just said, man, be done with him, Father. Let me go on about my business. Right. I ain't got time for this. So let's read on, though. But that's exactly what it is. So let's read on. Mm.
And some way of deliverance from the want they were in, because in him and in him alone was their hope of salvation.
And wait, read that part again.
Because in him and in him alone was their hope of salvation.
Okay. Hope of salvation. Go ahead.
And he desired that he would forgive what necessity had forced people to do, since such was the nature of mankind. Hard to please.
Wow. Okay. Such was the nature of mankind. Hard to please. Go ahead.
And very complaining under adversity.
See? Under adversity is very complaining. Now, see, doesn't that show you? That shows you how real this is. Because that's today. That has not changed. That has not changed. And that's why I said you got to look at these scriptures and realize from the perspective that, yes, this was thousands of years ago, several thousand years ago, but ain't nothing changed. There's a saying, they say, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
To be behaving niggardly is grudging and petty.
There it is, and petty. Okay? So that just shows you how they are. Okay?
I didn't know that was a real word.
Oh, yeah. What's that, niggard?
It's a real word.
Yeah,
bro.
It's a real word. No. Yeah. That's a real word.
That's in the scripture.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Go ahead. Read on.
Accordingly, God promised he would take care of them. For them to succor, they were desirous of.
The Lord promised to Moses, I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to give you the comfort y'all need. Go ahead.
Now, when Moses had heard this from God, he came down to the multitude. But as soon as they saw him joyful at the promises he had received from God, they changed their sad countenances into gladness.
See, so now they were all sad because he cut them. He cut them deep with their consciousness. Now they, okay, we're going to be happy now because we finally going to get what we want. We're going to be good. Go ahead. So he, you know what? Wait a minute. I'm going to say this. It's just like when you get, you know, I remember this because when I was a child, my parents would take us to a party. We go to like a barbecue or somebody's house. And, you know, what you frown up for? When's dinner? Because you walk in as a kid, you want dinner right away. We going to the Johnson's house for barbecue, and you can smell the food, and you hungry. When's dinner? Are you sitting there all lip poked out? You all grumpy? You know, you better start acting right. Dinner will be ready soon. And you grumpy, and you think it took 10 days for them to bring the food. And all of a sudden, when the food comes out, you dance like how Snoopy used to dance.
Right.
When Charlie Brown bringing that plate, you remember how Snoopy would be up, and then Pete would be going. He'd be dancing. You'd be getting your boogie on. All of a sudden, the food, now you happy.
Got that chewing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, got that tune of you all happy now. You all missed the Christmas morning because you got what you wanted. See, it just shows you how selfish and how weak-minded. Got what I wanted. Go ahead, brother.
So he placed himself in the midst of them.
So Moses placed himself in the midst of them
and told them he had came to bring them from God a deliverance from their present distresses.
Check out what happens.
Accordingly, a little after came a vast number of quails.
So a little bit after came a vast number of quails. Watch, read on.
Which is a bird more plentiful in this Arabian Gulf than anywhere else.
So at least at that time, even the time of Josephus, 70 AD, there were plenteous quails in that area. Okay, go ahead.
Flying over the sea and hovering over them till weary with their laborious flight, and indeed, as usual, flying very near to the earth, they fell down upon the Hebrews, who caught them and satisfied their hunger with them, and supposed that this was the method whereby God meant to supply them with food.
Okay, so they thought, oh, we get, and it said there were so many of them, just take your pick, just grab them, because they tired. So the Most High had them flying over the ocean, and they fell, they were just tired. So they fell down, it's easy picking. Go ahead.
Upon which Moses is returned, thanks to God for affording them his assistance so suddenly and sooner than he had promised them.
So that came quickly. Right after they got the word, it was all right, time to get some food. Go ahead.
But presently after this first supply of food, he sent them a second. For as Moses was lifting up his hands in prayer.
Now, check this out. So now he sent the quails. Moses came down from the mountain, from the hill that he was on praying. He came down and said, the Most High is going to bring us some food. And then, boom, here come the quail. Now, and then Moses was like, man, that was fast. So then Moses went to go pray to the Most High again. And when he prayed, he put his hands up to the sky. So as he was praying the second time, read on.
A dew fell down.
Dew, like fog came in. A dew fell down.
And Moses, when he found it stick to his hands, supposed this was also come for food from God to them, he tasted it. And perceiving that the people knew not what it was, and thought it snowed, and that it was what unusually felt at that time of year.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Check this out. So now, Moses was up praying, and this dew came down. And as the dew touched his hands, he tasted it. But the people didn't know what it was, and they thought that it snowed. So all these people who think that, you know, oh, well, they were over there in the desert, you see all these movies, it's always, because whenever you see a movie about Bible time, whenever you see a movie about the Bible land, it's always hot, dusty, people always looking crusty, it's all desert, always. But right here it said it snowed. Well, how would they know what snow was even like?
Exactly.
If they had never seen it before.
Then it said it usually fell at that time of year.
And it usually fell that time of year. So I guess it's climate change going on, huh? I guess it's a little climate change because it don't snow over there now.
Wow.
I guess climate change did take place, didn't it? Okay. Go ahead. Read on.
He informed them that this dew did not fall from heaven after the manner they imagined, but came from their preservation and substance. So he tasted it and gave them some of it, that they might be satisfied about what he had told them.
So he says, for their sustenance. Go ahead.
They also imitated their conduct.
So he ate it. Because they were like, what is this? This must be snow. I don't know nothing about this. You know how people are. I ain't going to try it. You try it. So Moses tasted it, said it's good food. And then they followed what he did. Go ahead.
And were pleased with the food. For it was like honey and sweetness.
It was like honey and sweetness and pleasant taste. Go ahead.
But like in its body to
bedelium.
Bedelium?
Mm-hmm. Bedelium. Bedelium. Delium. I'm sorry. Delium.
Bedelium.
Right.
What is bedelium?
Somebody look it up. It was a wafer. Go ahead and look that up. Go ahead and look that up. Keep reading while he's looking that up.
One of the sweet spices.
So it was a sweet spice. So it was like a sweet spice. Go ahead.
And
get it, brother. Let me know.
And in bigness equal to coriander seed.
Right. Okay. So small.
Yeah.
They were small, tiny, right? Coriander's a spice, right?
And
now,
very,
in fact, do y'all know what coriander seed is?
Yeah,
it's the seed for coriander is the seed of the what's the plant? Gosh, I love them too. They use them like in tacos with onions. What's the cilantro?
Oh, really?
That's the seed for cilantro.
Wow.
Yeah, coriander seed is the seed from the cilantro plant. Okay. Now, but now that shows you, and you can use it as a spice. People use it as a spice, but it shows you the kind. Just to give you an idea of if they had it over there. Because now he's saying it's the size of coriander seed. He didn't say it tastes like coriander seed, but he says the size, which means that he knew what a coriander seed looked like.
Mm.
So it shows you they had it over there is what I'm saying. You know, again, because keep in mind, the imagery we get nowadays of those times and of that land, it's always barren. They make bread because they got some flour. They grind up the wheat. But, you know, they always have – it's either they have a hunk of meat over an open fire. It looks like
right.
a leg of a lamb or a
right.
goat, you know, and they're eating the thing, you know, all beastly. You know, and then they have – and they have bread. And usually the bread's like some kind of pita flatbread or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's – and so they make it seem like they didn't have spices or flavored foods, you know, and they did. That's why I use that example.
Huh.
Now, do you have what? Yeah.
It is aromatic.
Aromatic, right.
Aromatic gum resigned similar to myrrh.
Similar to myrrh.
Myrrh.
All right, so y'all know what the stone, so which myrrh is a sap. But it's
by certain Asian and African shrubs or trees of the Guinness coming for us.
Okay, so it's like embodied to... To that, so it's a, it's firm. Well, you said it's gooey gum.
Yeah.
No, but you said before like it's a gum.
Gum, right?
Didn't you say like a gum? Read from the beginning.
Oh yeah, an aromatic gum.
An aromatic meaning has a fragrance. Mm-hmm. It's very fragrant. That's what aromatic means. It's fragrant and it's like a gum. So it's got a gooey consistency,
mm-hmm.
like to myrrh because myrrh is gooey when they first get it because it's a sap.
Right.
So it's like a sap.
Resin.
There you go. A resin, because that's where frankincense and myrrh come from. They're a resin from a tree. So they strip it. And you know what else they do? I'm going to show you something. You know what else has that same consistency? Maple.
Yeah.
When you get like maple tree, they tap the maple tree. So it shows you it's like honey in consistency.
Right.
Is what it's like.
And it was very flavorful.
Okay. Yes, it's very, very flavorful. So it said, but like in its body, so it was gooey. So this manna, it wasn't like these matzo crackers. You know,
dry and
tasteless. See, now we're finding out. It said it's like honey and sweetness, and pleasant taste, and it's like in its body to bdellium, which is one of the sweet spices. So it definitely is sweet in flavor, and then kind of has a gum like consistency. So it's chewy.
Right.
So you know what? Probably something similar to like the chewy granola bars,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. They have lots of like they have lots of honey in them. You know, you get those chewy granola bars that are kind of like, you know, you bite into it. It's almost like they're sticky, but it's very flavorful. But they're small, like a Fig Newton. Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah,
like a Fig Newton.
I like that we're looking all of this up because we could get an idea of the nutritional value.
Right.
That was in this.
And it shows you they weren't, like the sister said, they weren't eating these little cakes that were just
exactly.
made out of, they were just plain and dry and tasteless.
Because we walk,
okay.
we walking around, you
exactly.
know what I'm saying? So we had to have something that was going
right.
to sustain us and keep our energy level up,
exactly.
so on and so forth.
Exactly.
So it had great nutritional value.
Right. Now, watch this. Let's read on. Read on. You're going to like this.
And very earnest. They were in gathering.
So very earnest. Because remember, they were hungry. That was the whole point. So they were, oh, let's get it. Oh, boy, let's get it. Go ahead.
But they were enjoined to gather it equally.
But they were enjoined to gather it equally. So in other words, don't be greedy. Go ahead.
The measure of an omer for each one every day.
Now, we had read this last week in the scriptures. There was a measurement of an omer each day. Why don't somebody look that up for me? What an omer, the measurement of an omer, okay? O-M-E-R. Go ahead.
because this food should not come in too small a quantity, lest the weaker might not be able to get their share.
Now, it shows you how the Most High had this thing set up. Moses gave them an order that they all get an omer a day, so that those who had less, they weren't, or those who were weaker or smaller weren't overtaken by the ones who were stronger, and so everybody had a fair portion.
Mm-hmm.
It was all done equally. Now, somebody go ahead and read what an omer is.
Could be a greedy nigga.
It says an ancient unit of dry measure.
Equal to a tenth of an ephah.
About 3.5 liters.
About 3.5 liters.
3.7 quarts.
3.7 quarts. So that's almost a gallon. Because 4 quarts is a gallon. Or yeah, 4 quarts is a gallon. So 3.7 quarts. So it's almost a little bit less than a gallon a day. So 3.7 quarts.
So
it's a little less. 4 quarts is a gallon.
Right. 4 quarts. So it's 3.7 of a quart. And
no, 3.7 quarts.
Oh, 3.7.
Right. So you have 3 quarts and then 0.7 of a quart.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So it's almost a gallon. So if you've got a gallon jug, in fact, we got one here. Right. So this is 4 quarts.
Yeah.
So 3.7, you figure somewhere around like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you got these little wafers every day. It's 3.7 quarts. So it's almost a gallon.
That was per day.
That's what we were allowed to pick per
for
day.
Each one
each
every
family.
Day.
For each work, for each one. For each person.
Each one
for each
every
person.
Day.
Every day. Okay. Well, this is. But now that's for your day. And so they had the quail.
The quail, too, right.
And then they had that, and so you had that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That was your meals, and each person had that, and that was equal for everyone. Now, what would happen is the dew would come, and we'll probably read more of it in here, but we read last week in Exodus where you read about how every day, the morning, the dew would come overnight, and then they would go out in the morning, and you could pick the manna. And then as the sun started to come, it would dry up and it would just disappear. And you couldn't keep it. You keep your omer because it would grow worms the next day if you kept it overnight. That's why the Most High had a perfect measurement. You get it. So in other words, we had our food was fresh.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even want us to have no leftovers.
Here
in the wilderness.
Every day
was freshness. Okay? Now read on.
Could not be. But not be able to get their share by reason of the overbearing of the strong in collecting them.
See, the Most High knew how the Israelites were going to be.
Greedy.
They get greedy, and then I'm going to collect all this. And it shows you there was no reason for there to be greed because he made sure there was enough for everybody. But some people would still be greedy and try and take over. Go ahead, read on.
However, these strong men, when they had gathered more than the measure appointed for them.
So there were certain men who were strong and could go out there and work quickly and just really hustle, and they took more than what they were supposed to get. Check out what happened.
Had no more than others.
So they was out there hustling, filling their containers, and they still didn't have any more than the others. You still. So it's like, man, Larry, you went out there and worked your behind off for nothing.
Divided by zero.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you. Divide by zero. Okay. Yeah. Watch this. Read on. What the next thing is?
But only tired themselves more in gathering it.
They only tired themselves out more in gathering it because they came back. They were still, man, I'm tired from all that picking. Yeah, I see you didn't get no more than I did either.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
But they found no more than an omer apiece.
That's it.
Wow.
Read on.
And the advantage they got by what was superfluous was none at all.
Was extra, was unnecessary. It was nothing at all. What was it?
It corrupting.
It was just corrupting. Go ahead.
Both by the worms breeding in it and by its bitterness.
See, and by, because when they kept it the next day, it was bitter. So people tried to collect it, and this is what would happen. They would bring in more. So they would get almost a gallon every day, right? Each person was supposed to get just under what would be a gallon. So some people will go out and get 2 or 3 gallons worth, right? And so you eat your portion for the day and say, well, I got them 2 other gallons over there. That's for tomorrow. Wake up the next day and it's worms and bitter. So it's spoiled. That's what the Most High made sure. You got only an omer's worth.
Go ahead.
So divine and wonderful a food was this. It also...
Listen, now listen. This is very important. Now, but this is why. So divine and wonderful this food was. Now, this is deep. For those that have never read this or have come across and didn't put this together, read what it says.
It also supplied the want of the other soul.
No. Read that. You got to read this right because I'm going to explain this. Y'all going to trip on this.
It also supplied the want of other sorts.
Of other sorts. Go ahead.
Of food to those that fed on it.
Also supplied the want of other foods to those that fed on it. You know what that means?
It
tasted
whatever you wanted to taste.
It tasted like what you wanted it to taste
like.
Yeah, that's what it was. So you get up and you say, man, today I'd like some oatmeal. It tasted like oatmeal. But you might have said, I want some pancakes. It tasted like pancakes. You say, I want an omelet. It tasted like an omelet. With cheese. Or a ribeye. With cheese. Okay? But it tasted like what you wanted it to taste like. Okay? It tasted like what they wanted to taste like. Okay? So now look, remember, just a few hours before this even started, they were ready to stone Moses. But this tasted like, when we look at the modern day portrayal of what happened here, the modern day portrayal, and in fact, you know, when preachers, pastors, priests, ministers, anybody leaves you with what the scriptures say, they make you think they were eating these little plain wafers, like they were dry crackers. And you had to swallow a lot of water. You had to drink a lot of water because it'd dry your mouth out. Okay? But this, it says, so divine and wonderful. Now, divine.
Divine.
Somebody give me divine that we gonna look at it. Somebody give me divine so we can break this down. So divine and wonderful this food was, exclamation point. It also supplied the want of other sorts of food to those that fed on it. So for breakfast, now listen, wait a minute. You go out in the morning, you get your ephah, your container of food. So in the morning, you say, I want it to taste like an omelet with biscuits and gravy. And you, and then for lunch, you say, I want some chicken salad sandwich. It's the same thing, but tastes different. And then, wait a minute, for dinner, you want pot roast with all the veggies and some hush puppies on the side. Nom, nom, nom. And then you say, well, for dessert, I'm going to be like Cookie Monster and do the, I want chocolate chip cookies. Oh, nom, 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 nom. Okay.
I mean,
of course. Now, listen, but watch how this works. Yes. Brother, you got that?
Well,
divine. That's all right. We're going to wait on you. Divine. D-I-V-I-N-E. What did it say?
Or like a.
Nah, you don't know. You didn't catch it. That's why you don't use Siri. She talked too fast. Who got it?
Or like God or a God who voted a God scared. Have supernatural or magical insight.
Supernatural. Or magical, okay? How supernatural and wonderful this food was. That's
wow.
A good one. How supernatural this food was. So it tasted like anything they wanted it to taste like.
Wow.
And see, the thing is, when you read this and get this understanding of it, it shows you how much more powerful, how powerful this was, that the Most High was dealing with Israel like this. Okay? Now let's read on.
And even now, in all that place, this manna comes down in rain, according to what Moses then obtained of God, to send it to the people for their sustenance.
For their sustenance. To get them satisfied. Go ahead.
Now the Hebrews call this food manna, for the particle man, in our language. Is the asking of a question.
What is this? So the Hebrews were very joyful at what was sent to them from heaven.
So they called it manna because the term man in their language meant, what is this? Man, what is this? What is this? Because it was this soft stuff that disappeared when the sun came up, when the sun started to heat up in the late morning. But it tasted like anything you felt like wanting to taste that day. Anything. Okay, but it was possible. Read on, brother. So the Hebrews were very joyful at what was sent from heaven. Go ahead.
Now, mm-hmm. they made use of this food for 40 years, wow. or as long as they were in the wilderness.
I wish they had acted right so we could use it today.
Damn,
because I'm so sick of this stuff. Oh, man, that's expired. Put that down. Seeing all that food, and then that raggedy food, was it? The brother put the thing on the post. I don't eat Bill Miller, but the whole thing about Bill Miller, they use pork on all their stuff. You know, yeah, lard. And a lot of these places, a lot of these little Mexican joints use manteca, which is lard.
Manteca?
Yeah, manteca is lard. So if you go somewhere, they say manteca. They know what lard is, but that's lard. So it's best, especially a lot of these mom-and-pop places. I mean, some places will use olive oil because eating healthier is, but you gotta ask, you know, if you're trying to go right. It's all this stuff, man. But it just shows you, you know. What was your question? What was your question? Oh. Oh, yes. Right, right. Well, that's the thing. We're going to have something to complain about. That's our people.
That's what they, I mean, like, it's
right. Now, let's go ahead and read on now.
Mm-hmm. As soon as they were removed thence, they came to Rephidim, being distressed to the last degree by thirst. And while in the foregoing days.
Okay, let's hold on to that. Let's hold on to that section 7. We're going to go to the scriptures now. I always like to read the scriptures first and then the Josephus so we can get a better, fuller understanding because the scriptures is the focus. So now keep in mind, psychologically, how our people were behaving, how they wanted to kill Moses because they didn't have any water, any food. And then they turn around and he has to remind them of all the blessings that the Most High has given them to get them back on track. Okay, so then Most High blesses them with food, and I mean, that's why I call manna angel's food. Can you imagine you have something that tastes like anything you want it to taste like? See, and that is where they got that Willy Wonka thing.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, a food that can taste like what you want it to.
Yeah.
It didn't look remarkable, but it tasted like whatever you wanted to taste like. Okay, that's angel's food. So now we're going to read Exodus chapter 17.
You good? You need a little read?
Yeah, go ahead. Come on up, read for me, brother. Come on up over here so we can, while he goes to the restroom, and we will. We're going to read Exodus chapter 17 in the scriptures. When you get it, go ahead and read it.
It says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, and their journey according to the commandment of the Most High of the Lord pitched in Rephidim.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no water for the people to drink.
So now they left the wilderness of Sin. Now Sin, talking but not talking about the action, talking about the location. It was a place. And they wandered through that wilderness, and they pitched in an area called Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Go ahead.
Wherefore the people chided with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink.
And here they go again. Now, we know how they acted before. So when it says the people did chide with Moses, you know what that meant. They were trying to stone him again. They were back at it because they at no point did they walk up to Moses and say, Moses, can you please get us some water? You know, they were complaining, they were fussing, they were blaming him for stuff. So they said, you know, they wanted water. Go ahead.
And Moses said unto them, why chide with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?
See, why are you messing with me? Therefore, you're going to tempt the Most High. Go ahead.
And
Read one more, and then he'll come in.
And the people thirsted, they're for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?
Okay, that's good, brother. Thank you. So it shows you, we're in Exodus chapter 17, and it shows you that here it is. We already went through that the Most High did all these miracles to bring the people out into the wilderness, out from captivity, and then the people complained because they didn't have meat to eat. So then Moses had to calm them down because they were ready to kill Moses, right? And then he talked them down, made them feel guilty, and then he prayed for them after they calmed down. The Most High brought them food, brought them quail, brought them the manna. And here they are now where they didn't have water, and again, ain't none of them starving to death. They're not ready to die. But here they are talking about, they murmured against Moses, why you bring us out of Egypt so we can die out here in the wilderness? Once again, lacking faith, being quick to judgment, being quick to anger, being quick to violence. Go ahead.
We're in
verse 4. Chapter 17, verse 4.
Verse 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.
See? Okay. So when it talks about they murmured against him, they chided with him, it shows you it's not just that they were complaining. It wasn't that they were just fussing a little bit and grumbling. It was that they were ready to kill him. I mean, talk about rebellious. Go ahead.
And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go.
But it's just, you really got to see the psychology of this. Again, psychology, the mental characteristics or attitude of a person or a group, the mental and emotional factors governing a situation or activity. And you got to see this psychologically, how weak-minded the children of Israel have been. Because when they were complaining about food, the Most High gave them the best food they could ever have. And they never said they used, remember, they said they had the manna for 40 years through the wilderness. So they have plenty to eat, but now they're complaining because they don't have enough water for what they want. Exactly. So it just shows you, and it's like none of them said, well, you know what, the Most High, when we were hungry, the Most High took care of the food, so why are we worried about the water? Something to drink. Go ahead.
Verse 6. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb.
So now the Most High told Moses to take the elders of Israel with him and take his staff and go out, and he's going to stand before the rock at Horeb. Go ahead.
And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel.
See, now he did it in the sight of the elders of Israel so that they could see it was the Most High that did it. Go ahead.
And he called the name of the place.
Also, he did it because, keep in mind that Israel was out there complaining and fussing. And so he said, okay, y'all bring your elders out here so that you can see the Most High is going to do this. So then what that does is, in the future, when they come upon any kind of adversity, can be locked in with them. And then when the people start complaining, the elders can say, listen, before y'all start complaining to Moses, and before y'all calm down. Because we've seen what the Most High has done through Moses. See, that's part of the psychology of it. Okay, go ahead.
And he called the name of the place Meshah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not?
See, that's how bad the children of Israel got. That's the kind of fussing and complaining they were doing. Is he going to be with us or not? He going to let us die of thirst? Instead of saying, you know what, he did all this for us. He ain't going to let us just die of thirst. But they have no faith. Go ahead.
Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim.
So it shows you Amalek came along. The Amalekites came along to fight. Go ahead.
And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out. Fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.
So he told Joshua, go on out there and fight with them. They're going to try and come up. We're going to roll on them. Go ahead.
So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill.
So Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Go ahead.
And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed.
So when Moses had his hand up, they were winning. When his hand went down, they were losing. So check out what they had to do. Go ahead.
And Moses' hands were heavy.
His hands were heavy. I'm sure he had some big old massive hands. Go ahead.
And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon.
Because he was standing up there. So now he sat down. Go ahead.
And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand. The one on the one side and the other on the other side.
So Aaron was on one side. Hur was on the other. Moses sat down and they held his hands up. Go ahead.
And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun.
Now, that just shows you. Go ahead, brother. You have a question?
What was the purpose behind this?
That's a good question, though. But what do you think? Let's have some ideas. The question being, you know, was it this whole purpose about this instance, the Most High having us work together? That's not what it was. It was another sign the Most High was in front of, because Moses was out here in front of all the army, right? They all saw it, that when he held his hands up, they were winning. When his hands went down, they were losing. So this is another way that the Most High would show, but also to show the people that the Most High is using Moses. He's with us, but he's using Moses. Because remember, the people, every time they come into some trouble, the people are trying to kill Moses. They don't fear Moses. They're trying to kill him. Every time they turn around, they're like, get that fool. Let's go get him. And so they got to start realizing, wait a minute, the Lord is with them. Let us stop tripping and get on board with the program.
So it
was a good question, but it's just we got to break this thing down and see that's really what it was. But now then you look at it and you realize it said his hands now. So Joshua went out and usually when they went to war, it's pretty much early in the day. You start the day. If you get up, let's go. So it was early, probably close to sunrise, if not far after sunrise. And it said his hands up. That's why they pointed out his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So basically his hands were there all day long. That's why they got tired. You imagine putting your arms out like this, you know, all day. There used to be a TV show on. Every year they used to have, ESPN used to do this show, and it was the strongman competition.
Yeah.
And they have the big tire. They would be racing. You know, they try and flip the tire or, you know, they do this stuff. And they had this one event where they would take, it was an axe. It was like a battle axe, two-headed axe. You know, the axe with the blade on both sides.
Yeah.
And the guys would take the axe and they'd hold the handle. And you had to hold it out just like this. And he just had to stand here and do it just like this.
Right.
I mean, these guys were like, some of them were body, some of them were power lifters, you know,
yeah,
big arms, but they're
that.
Not a lot of definition.
Right.
But some of them were like serious bodybuilders.
They were strong.
And they were like, they just had to hold it. And man, they start doing, you know, they had the clock going, whoever held it the longest. And man, they'd be like, because, you know, when you hold something like that for a long time, and they just get to shaking until it finally drops. But, yeah, and that's you know, it just shows you. So Moses holding his arms up. And the thing is, you have to recognize that the reason I said he had some big, massive hands is, you know, it said his hands were heavy. You got to stop and think about, okay, what did Moses do in his life? Well, number one, yes, we know when he was a child, he was being raised up. He definitely was educated.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he knew how to fight because he knew how to fight with a sword. Because remember, he was a general in the army. And you didn't get up to that level if you didn't know how to use weaponry.
Right.
So they had swords. They had staffs. So he knew how to, you know, he knew what we call martial arts. He knew sword work. So he had that ability. Then when he was on the run when he went out after he got exiled is the word I was looking for. Once he got exiled from Egypt and he was out in the wilderness with Jethro, his father-in-law, he kept the flocks. And remember, it said that the scriptures talk about how Jethro had made him the head over all of his flocks. And so he knew how to, and you know, when you talk about farmer and herdsmen and ranchers, they have very powerful hands. You use your hands all day.
Right.
And they didn't have trucks and, you know, the modern technology they have today. You had to handle that stuff by hand. It was with your hands. And so he had very, not only were they, you know, massive, but they were powerful, real strong grip, because they're using their hands all day just doing all the things you have to do, like on a ranch. You know, always gripping stuff and moving stuff and handling, you know, and so very powerful hands. You know, he's very strong, but very massive. And when you hold your arms up all day, I mean, after, you know, an hour, man, you.
Right. Exercise.
Right.
In y'all's spare time.
Right.
Just hold your
right.
hand up for
five minutes.
And
see how
you
long
shake,
you get.
Doing like this.
And I'll right. like after rough. 1 minute,
yeah.
you're going to be shaking.
Shaking. And so his arms were hours.
Yeah.
Hours.
Yes.
Yeah. So it just
that
shows.
Ain't easy.
No, it's not easy. So just to give you an idea of how that was. So let's go ahead and read on. Verse 13.
And Joshua discomfited
Amalek
and his people with the edge of the sword.
So Joshua beat them. Go ahead.
And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.
Go ahead.
And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.
So it just shows you, okay? But it shows you how they had this battle, as y'all are about to drop your arms in a second here. So, let me see. Yes. Now, go ahead, brother, your question.
I mean, would it be like
basically forever. Back, it's just the way they spoke back then, how they wrote things.
Because
you know,
you read verse 14, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book.
Right.
And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. A memorial, son, that's why we're reading it now.
Right. Right.
The
memorial
book that was put in.
It lasts forever.
It lasts forever.
I know, I mean, for that battle,
No, the battle ended, but in other words, the Most High always had something against Amalek,
huh.
And he always would have something. The war ended, but he would always have a hatred or a dislike
hatred.
For Amalek,
huh.
Is what it's talking about. It's not that that war was going to go on and on and on and on. No, it's just that he would. Just like, you know, you have beef with somebody, and you have a fight, and then the fight's over, but you're still like, man, I don't like that dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ain't never going to like that. You may never fight him again,
but
you ain't never going to like
it.
You remember it, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of thing, okay? Now, let's go back to Josephus, because we're going to read what we just read and see how the Josephus brings it forth. And so we are in back in the Josephus, Antiquity of the Jews. We are in Book 3. And we're in chapter 1, section 7. Antiquity of the Jews, book 3, chapter 1, section 7. Go ahead and read that.
As soon as they were removed then.
So as soon as, now, this was going back. We're just rereading what we read. We want to get Josephus' point of view on it. So now, as soon as they left the area of sin, when they got the manna, when the Most High sent the manna down, go ahead.
They came to Rephidim, being distressed to the last degree by thirst.
So here they go again. They distressed because, oh, Lord, we thirsty. Go ahead.
And while in the foregoing days they had lit on a few small fountains.
So the few days they had been going across, they had a few small fountains they had come across. Go ahead.
But now found the earth entirely destitute of water.
So now the area they're in has no water at all.
They were in an evil case.
Oh, here they go again. They're in an evil case. I mean, their minds are getting working again, and they're being negative. Go ahead.
They again. Turn their anger against Moses.
See, once again, they turn their anger against Moses. Now, this is all setting up to something, but we got to read through it to get to it. So they again turned against Moses.
But he at first avoided their fury of the multitude, and then betook himself to prayer to God.
So he avoided the fury of the multitude. See, fury. So it wasn't just that they murmured against him. They were furious because we know what they were going to try and do. Go ahead. So he went to pray to the Most High. Go ahead.
This teaching him that as he had given them food when they were in the greatest want of it, so he would give them drink. Since the favor of giving them food was of no value to them while they had nothing to drink.
See, now that shows you how ungrateful they are, because the favor of giving them food meant nothing while they were thirsty. That's just like somebody, you give them, now you say, oh, well, here, let me give you, if you're hungry, let me give you a plate of food. And the first thing they do is, oh, thank you for the food, but man, you ain't got nothing to drink. You ain't got nothing to drink. It's like, fool, I just gave you a bunch of food. You said you were hungry. I gave you some food. Yeah, but you ain't got nothing to drink. It's being completely ungrateful is what it is. But it's even worse because it's to the point where they're trying to kill Moses. They want to kill him behind this. Go ahead.
And God did not long delay to give it them, but promised Moses that he would procure them a fountain and plenty of water from a place they did not expect any. So he commanded him.
Go ahead. Wait a second. What did you say, brother?
Oh, no, I was just.
You know,
it was very destitute.
Yeah, it was like there was no water. But now, keep in mind, we just read that they did come across a few fountains.
Okay.
And the reason I bring that out, so along the way, there was some water. So, again, it's not like they had gone for a week with no water.
Right.
It's not like anybody was about to pass out and die. It's just that they were in a place where there was no water. So the Most High said, now I'm going to bring up the water from a place you don't even see, no water at all. I'm going to bring up the water, enough water for everybody.
And we had water. We just didn't have enough water to please.
We had water. Exactly.
Right.
In other words, we weren't.
Right.
You know what it was? You know what it was? This is what it was. It was that, there's no water. I don't see any water here. Now, we just drank, but I don't see any water here. So I'm going to get thirsty later. And I don't see no water.
Yeah.
See, that's what it was.
Yeah, see it.
We can't see it.
Wow.
Because they would drink water along the way. Now, when it said they came across a few small fountains, it said they lit on a few small fountains. And so that meant, now when it said small fountains, it was still enough, whatever size they were, it was still enough for everybody to get water and for their flocks to get water. So nobody had died.
Right.
So even though it wasn't a huge amount of water by what Josephus is saying, it was still sufficient for everybody to have water. So they were just being greedy. Exactly. It's you know what? You just ate the last of your food that you have at your house, and now you're worried about, well, what happens tomorrow? But payday's tomorrow. My paycheck's going to hit the bank at midnight. But I ain't worried about that. I'm worried about what I can see in my cabinet right now. But it was to the point where they got so negative, they were willing to kill Moses for it. Because of it.
I can say this, too. We talking about millions of people, too.
That's the point.
It was
600,000 men.
It was over, listen.
Wait a minute. Listen. I'm going to explain it to you. There was just over 600,000 men that were of the age to go to war.
Okay, gotcha.
So the age of at least 20,
mm-hmm.
20 to probably 50, maybe a little older, but that was the count for them.
Yeah, right.
That did not count women, any children, and when we say children, any men who were under 20. So even 19-year-old men were not considered able to go to war because it was 20. So it was any boy from newborn to 19, all girls, women, and elderly, even the old men, who were over the age of going to war. So now I've heard estimates of at least 1.5 million.
Yeah.
But it may have been more than that.
But the point, servants,
listen, not only servants, we had people of other nations that went with us.
Came with us too.
That were in captivity under Egypt who came with us. So you figure a good couple million people at least. And then the water we came across was sufficient to give for them and all of our flocks.
So these small ponds weren't so small.
Yeah, these small fountains we came across, it's all relative. Exactly. It's all relative. You have to look at it that way. So now they had – so none of them was on the verge. Sorry, it wasn't that like in the movies where they're crawling and it's like, oh, I've been in the desert, you know, and then – and look. Look, and then you know where the waves, where it's like I become, I start hallucinating where,
yeah,
you know, I look at the brother and he becomes a hot dog. You know what they say, like I look at you and you become a hot dog or a hamburger. Cause I'm, you know what I'm talking about when they do that, or everything looks like an oasis, or, oh, that's my cousin that died last year. Oh, you know, it's all kind of crazy. No, they're not at that point. And we know they had food.
Mm-hmm.
So it just shows you. They're just being greedy. Now, go ahead, but to the point where they're ready to kill Moses. Now, go ahead and read on, brother.
So he commanded them.
So he commanded them.
I'm sorry, he commanded him.
Yeah, so the Most High commanded Moses
to smite the rock which they saw lying there with his rod, and out of it to receive plenty of what they wanted.
But wait. See, not to give them a little bit, but to give them what?
Plenty of what they wanted.
Give them plenty of what they wanted. Go ahead.
We had taken care that drink should come to them without any labor or painstaking.
Now listen, wait. Water should come to them without any labor. So they didn't have to dig a well or painstaking. They didn't have to go up to a well and then have to pull the rope up the bucket and pour it out and then go get it and drop it down and then pull it back up. It said the water's going to come to them with no work. Because, you know, when you go to a well, like you see the movies where they have the well where either they have the thing where they turn it and it brings the water, or they use a hand, you know, they take it by hand and pull the bucket up and they pour out one bucket, then drop it down and bring out another bucket. You know how long that would take for all the people and the crops? No, it said it was going to come to them with no work. So all they had to do was sit back and take your cup and put it right there, and there's the water. And it's enough for everybody. Enough for everybody. Go ahead.
When Moses had received this command from God, he came to the people who waited for him and looked upon him. For they saw already that he was come apace from his
imminence. So he was off. They knew he had been off praying. Go ahead.
As soon as he was come, he told them that God would deliver them from their present distress and had granted them an unexpected favor.
An unexpected favor. Go ahead.
And informed them that a river should run from there for their sake out of the rock.
See, because listen, this is how you know it's a river. Because if the Most High said it was going to be enough water that they could, now provide water for everybody and their flocks. Okay? That's number one. Number two, it said that they were going to receive it without any labor. They weren't even going to have to work for the water. Because you figure, you know, you look at like the old movies where they had to, okay, you got to go down to the well or go to the river and get the water. You got to take the bucket, like you have a pole across your shoulders with a bucket on either side. You got to run down, dip each one and come back with, no, you didn't have to take no trips. So you knew it was going to be a river coming through so everybody could just go right on down and get it. And the river was going to come out of the rock. Fresh water.
Like a water faucet.
Right.
Water faucet.
Yeah, ain't no faucet. It's going to be straight up river. Yeah, ain't going to be no fountain coming up. Ain't like a geyser. No, it's going to be a river, so you ain't got to work hard to get it. So not only is he going to give enough for you to have, but then you ain't even got to work for it. Now, see how – but it shows you how much more it shows you truly how ungrateful they were. Okay? Go ahead.
But they were amazed at the hearing, supposing they were of necessity to cut the rock in pieces.
So they thought, okay, we got to go in here and hammer away at the rock, and then it's going to break like there's an underground river or something. Go ahead.
Now they were distressed by their thirst.
See, they're distressed. Oh! Go ahead.
And by their journey, while Moses only smiting the rock with his rod.
See, so he took his staff, his walking stick, and hit the rock.
Out of it burst water.
No, out of it trickled water.
Out of it burst water.
Out of it burst water. That I want to point that out. It didn't say it trickled. It didn't say it kind of flowed a little bit. It burst
water.
Okay, like boosh.
Like a fire hydrant.
Like a fire hydrant when they open it up. Boosh. Go ahead.
And that in great abundance and very clear.
Wait. It was muddy.
And that in great abundance and very clear.
It was dirty.
Very clear.
It was very clear. It was pure water. Go ahead.
But they were astonished at this wonderful effort.
At
effect, and at and as it were quenched, and at and as it were quenched their thirst by the very sight of it.
Just looking at it, when they saw that water, their thirst was quenched. Okay, just looking at it. Yeah. See, now wait a minute. The brother brought out a good point. Right before that, they were ready to kill Moses. Yeah, again, they were ready to kill Moses before that, but now all of a sudden they're astonished. They're, oh!
What kind of water can you see?
Okay.
Well, you don't drink it yet, and you already.
The kind of water the Most High. Listen, the kind of water the Most High brought out of the rock when Moses hit it with his staff.
Right.
I'm telling you. Go ahead, check this out. Read on.
So they drank this pleasant, this sweet water.
Pleasant and sweet water. Go ahead.
And such it seemed to be, as might well be expected. Where God was the donor.
You would expect it to be sweet and refreshing if the Most High gave it to you. Go ahead.
They were also in admiration how Moses was honored by God.
See, now they're admiring him. Now, just a few minutes ago, like the brother said, they was ready to kill him. Now they admire him. Go ahead.
And they made great, grateful returns of sacrifices to God for his prompt, for his providence towards them.
For his providence towards them.
Providence towards
uh-huh.
them.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Now, that scripture which is laid up in the temple informs us how God foretold to Moses that water should in this manner be derived out of the rock.
Now, shows you the psychology of this, though, is that now that the water came out and it's so good and so refreshing, now they're, okay, let's pray to the Lord again. Let's be happy with Moses and pray to God again. Now, this is the second time they've done this, or the third time they've done it.
Right.
You know, but it shows you things get tight, and they want to know. But it's not just that they complain, which is bad enough. They're ready to, I mean, you have to look at the psychology of where somebody's mind is when you get to the point where you want to kill someone. And then it's not even killing someone like kill someone that assaulted your child, or killed someone that killed your mama, or killed someone that's trying to threaten your life. This is killing someone because you're hungry. And it was somebody who helped you just a few days ago. You know, who's helped you all along and is right there with you. And it's not like, it might be different if, let's say Moses was sitting there and he was eating. You know, he had a big old plate of food and they didn't have no food. Or if he had water and they didn't have water. That's different. But Moses was right there with them. They had no food, he didn't have any food. They had no water, he didn't have any water. But they want to kill him each and every time. And I keep bringing this out because, of course, we're going to continue next week, but it's going to build up to something, and we got to get to that. But it just shows you how fickle people are and how mentally weak and psychologically weak they are. Okay? And how much Moses, how much patience the Most High and Moses are showing with them. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm not as good a man as Moses. I'm going to tell you. Because I would have been like, middle of the night, the second night, I would have been like, y'all niggas, I got a wife out here. I'm going to see my wife. Y'all on your own. Go back to Egypt if you want to. Okay? I'm out of here because I'm going to eat. Most High going to take care of me. But see, that just shows you, of course, that selfishness and greed.
Right.
Absolutely. And I admit it. I don't want nobody saying, oh, the guy. So you're going to leave. Nah, it ain't like that. But it just shows you how deep, how Moses is and how locked into the spirit and what he's supposed to do, he's locked in, and how the people really, it also shows you how much patience the Most High has shown to the children of Israel. Just, and this is, he was doing all this to give them their land.
Right.
He's just trying to get them out of slavery. And it shows you how hard the work was even then when the people can see it. So you can imagine in today's society with our people growing up in the modern world, how hard it is, and they don't see the miracles like they did. I mean, the Most High put them miracles in Egypt straight up, right front, everybody could see it.
Right.
So you can see how difficult it will be with our people today. Appreciate y'all coming in. We're not going to start another chapter because we don't want to get too far into it and get all excited, but we're going to continue this next week.
Okay.
So appreciate y'all coming in, and shalom.
Shalom.